1,245 drowned in a week. If there had been a German Wings airline disaster every 20 hours for 7 days, the death toll would still not be as bad. Since January, it is estimated 1,750 asylum seekers have died trying to reach Europe due to spring storms, dilapidated boats, murderous people smugglers, and bad luck. But the fundamental reason is something far more significant: the unstoppable human desire to do better, to have more, to live longer. Ironically, for so many, this instinct has led to the tragic opposite. The debate this has sparked is angry and emotional. For some Europeans, this is evidence of what they have always feared. Millions of Africans are willing to do anything to overrun the clean, ordered civilization of Mozart and Descartes, and Mosley and Le Pen. For others, a full humanitarian response, whatever the result, is the only way to live up to the hallowed European ideals of liberté, égalité, and fraternité. One side wants to send the Navy to tow the migrants back to Libyan shores. The other side wants to send the Coast Guard to find these people before they drown. The Conservative government in the United Kingdom argues that if Europe provides more resources to rescue migrants, it will create a pull factor. If other Africans know they are likely to survive a Mediterranean crossing, then far more will try. This will lead to more unseen deaths on the perilous overland journey from Eritrea or Syria or Somalia, across the Sahara, to the ports of war-torn Libya, and frankly, to more migrants in Britain, where the fear of foreign workers is draining support from the Conservatives to the more xenophobic UKIP party. The counter-argument is both emotional and compelling. Herbert Prantl, a German journalist, has railed against the idea that Europe should use dead refugees to shield itself from the others, as he puts it. Indeed, it seems monstrous to imagine Europeans could stand passively by and tolerate the heart-wrenching images of drowned children washing onto the beaches of Italy with the refuse of their capsized ships. The UK's Labour Party leader, Ed Miliband, disputes the idea that the pull factor even exists. In fact, when pressed, his Conservative rivals admit the evidence is mostly anecdotal. But then there's this recent case of Australia. Approximately 4 years ago, there was a sudden and dramatic increase in the number of asylum seekers arriving by boat. Like the current situation in the Mediterranean, many were dying en route, either during the passage from Indonesia through the very rough Timor Sea, or when unscrupulous smugglers left them stranded on remote beaches in the Northern Territory. Canberra responded with a heavily criticized policy of either turning the boats back or detaining asylum seekers in remote internment camps in places like Papua New Guinea. The results have been dramatic. In 2013, over 20,000 unauthorized migrants arrived by boat. Last year, it was only 160. That was a drop of more than 99%. Does the Australian experience prove turning back desperate refugees, as inhumane as it appears, is actually an ethical and effective policy response? Or did these asylum seekers simply look for less well-guarded borders, such as those in Europe? If you compare the numbers, European arrivals do rise sharply, just as Australian numbers fall. A closer look, however, shows that those going to Europe are mostly from Africa and the Middle East, while those fleeing to Australia were from Asia. But this debate assumes that there is actually a genuine crisis. Last year, Europe received 626,000 asylum seekers. This number seems enormous, a flood, but it isn't. Europe's population is over 500 million people now. Those wretched souls who have risked everything to cross the Mediterranean or who scrambled over the Bulgarian frontier amount to 0.1% of the total population. This isn't a crisis. It's not even a rounding error. Frankly, Europe has more serious problems to consider. It is aging. Its birth rate is falling. And the strain on its vaunted social safety net grows year by year as the ratio of retirees to workers increases. There is a widespread recognition that if Europeans are to continue thriving like they did in the latter part of the 20th century, then they need immigrants. They need new citizens who are determined, undaunted, and tireless. In other words, they need the type of person who would be willing to risk everything and undertake an epic journey through deserts and battlefields and violent seas in the hope that they could build better lives for themselves and their families. A truly visionary European leader would not waste time debating if it's better to be sending gunboats or lifeboats. They would be sending invitations. This is Scott Gilmore from Maclean's Magazine.